Our great God, we have sung your praises this morning. We have a glimpse of your glory and of your holiness. And we want to ask if we could be so bold that you would show us your glory through your word. That we would see more of who you are. And as we see you more clearly, please would you shape us to be more like you. We praise you that your word is eternal and unchanging, as we have just sung together. We thank you that what is true, what was true when these words were written, is still just as true today. And so we ask that you would please shape us by your word to be those who follow our King Jesus wholeheartedly, for his glory, and in his name we ask. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, from verse 35, just a few verses to finish off today. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This is the word of God to us this morning. Now, today marks the end of our series in these two chapters of Matthew's Gospel. As we've watched our powerful King Jesus interact with all sorts of different characters, we've begun to see what it looks like in practice to follow the King. And where we land this morning is going to be absolutely crucial if we are going to fulfill the mission that King Jesus has given us. This is a good place to end a series because Matthew is clearly finishing up a section in his book. He is closing a chapter before moving on to a new season in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. And we see that in the way that he summarizes things in verse 35. Look at verse 35 with me. It says, summary verse. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. A summary verse, which is paired with chapter 4, verse 23. So flip back to chapter 4. I can hear those pages flicking, that's good. You're with me. Chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness among the people. Almost identical. So these two verses are bookends for this section. They summarize everything that's happened in between. So from chapter 4, verse 23 to chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus has been doing these things. And we've seen that, haven't we, over the past few weeks. Jesus has been teaching and healing, speaking good news and doing good things. And he's covered a whole lot of ground. Look again at chapter 9, verse 35. It says he went through all the towns and villages. He healed every disease and sickness. This was good news for all, no matter how small. Healing for all, no matter how ill. But as Jesus finishes his Galilee tour of ministry, he looks around and he realizes there's still so much to be done. Look what he says in verse 37. The harvest is plentiful. There are so many people with so many needs. There are so many people who are so ready for some good news. There is so much potential for people to come into the kingdom. The harvest is plentiful. I want to say that we, here today, find ourselves in a time and a place where the harvest is plentiful. Use your imagination with me, if you can. You might want to close your eyes. You're welcome to, just for this moment. You have to open them again, unless you're Les, in which case you can go to sleep. That's fine. He's already gone. Good to see you, Les. I'm glad you can make it. Use your imagination with me, okay? Everyone close their eyes, apart from Les, who keeps his eyes open, all right? And just imagine for a moment that the walls of this building are flattened, all right? Take the walls out of the way, and so we're kind of outside in the cold. But as you look around you now, use your eyes to look all around you in every direction. I want you to imagine that we are surrounded by fields. So every direction you look in, you can just see fields upon fields upon fields. And I'm not talking about just fields where there's kind of grass and nothing else. I'm talking about fields of crops, things like wheat and corn, who are standing tall, ready to be harvested, ripe, ready for the harvest. So imagine fields in every direction filled with this grain standing tall. Now what I want you to do next is take one of those stalks of grain and replace that stalk with a person from this community, someone that you know, someone who needs Jesus. Have you done that? You've replaced that one stalk with one person. Okay, now move on to the next stalk next to that person, and I want you to do the same thing. Replace that stalk with someone else from this community, someone who needs Jesus. And now what I want you to do in your mind's eye is to replace every single stalk from all of the fields in every direction with people from Edmonton, people from this community, from every tribe, tongue and nation, boys and girls, men and women. Maybe imagine all of the people that you see up at Edmonton Green. You know when you go to Edmonton Green and it's really, really busy, maybe on a Saturday afternoon, and it's just heaving with people. Take all of those people and put them in the fields, or the people that you'd see at the Angel Corner, or in Pimm's Park on a sunny day. All of the many people that we see walking around the streets of Edmonton, take them all and put them in the fields all around you, as far as the eye can see. There are so many people with so many needs. There are so many people so ready for good news. There is so much potential for people to come into the kingdom. The harvest is plentiful. And I hope that moves us. I hope that moves us in two particular directions, although the two things are actually linked together. One kind of flows from the other. But the first thing is this. I hope it moves us to care. That's the if you've got a sheet of paper and you're filling it in, that's the first heading. I hope this moves us to care. Look how Jesus responds to this plentiful harvest in verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. Compassion is a really strong Greek word. It's talking about the kind of pity that you feel in your gut. Jesus, as he sees these crowds, is deeply moved on the inside to care for the crowds. Perhaps how we might feel if we saw an orphaned child in a refugee camp, moved inside to move towards them in love. Can you see the beauty of King Jesus? That he would have compassion on the crowds? That he would care for them? These are the crowds who have been clinging to his ankles like a needy child, always asking for help, never giving him a moment's quiet, quick to criticize, slow to believe. They have demanded of him, they've drained him, and yet when he sees the crowd, he cares. When the crowds come to him, his heart goes out to them. He has moved inside to move towards them in love. I wonder if Jesus was anything like us. I wonder how that sentence would read. At the end of this long tour of ministry in Galilee, I wonder how that sentence would read. When Luke saw the crowds, he was annoyed at them. Just stop calling me. When Luke saw the crowds, he looked down on them. Isn't it about time you pulled yourself together? When Luke saw the crowds, he kept his distance from them. I just need some space. I need some me time. When Luke saw the crowds, he was overwhelmed by them. It's just an impossible task. When Luke saw the crowds, he became hardened to them. But when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. What a glorious thing that our Lord Jesus does not have cold eyes and a hard heart. What a wonderful thing that our Lord Jesus is the same Lord Jesus today. Isn't it a wonderful thing that when we come to him as needy children clinging to his ankles, when we come to him with all of our sin and with all of our shame and with all of our failure and with all of our brokenness, he is not fed up. He is not frustrated. We don't need to worry that one day, or maybe he's going to have had enough of us and he's going to stop returning our calls. He is a God of compassion. The Lord Jesus looks on me and he looks on you with warm eyes full of compassion, with a soft heart that cares. Isn't it lovely? Can you see how glorious our God is? I hope you can. Because it's only when we see the compassion of Jesus for us that we could ever start to have compassion on others. It's not the kind of thing where I can just say to you, right, okay, you need to care more for people. Okay, that's the application of today's sermon. Go out and care more for the people who are around you, okay? It's not going to work. But if we catch a glorious glimpse of the way in which Jesus has cared for us, well, that will soften our hearts to then care for others. And what is it that causes Jesus to care? What is the reason for his compassion? Have a look at verse 36. Verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. You can help me out with this one. So whenever I say that sentence, I want you to complete it for me, okay? So sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd don't know what they're doing. The Lord's has... Is anyone's favourite animal a sheep? Yeah? A couple. The Lord has chosen to bless sheep with some cool things. They have really good wool, which makes really good jumpers, like the Christmas jumper that John Mark is wearing today. That's good. That's good work. Strong. In fact, the whole family. Stand up, the whole family. Look at that. Round of applause. Thank you very much. Oh, Peter, come on. You as well. Up you get. Round of applause.
Turn around, Peter.
Anyone else? So sheep have some good wool, which makes good jumpers. They also have some good meat, which makes good eating. But other than that, I don't think they've got a lot going for them. They're not very strong. They're not very smart. Put it this way. If you had to choose an animal to survive and fend for itself on a desert island, you would not choose a sheep. They would die very quickly. The fact is that sheep need to be looked after. Sheep need a shepherd. If you had to think about a sheep without a shepherd, you'd see that it would go astray. Sheep without a shepherd, they get sick, stuck, savaged, stolen, and scattered. Sheep without a shepherd don't know what they are doing. They need a shepherd to show them the way and to care for their needs. Sheep need a
shepherd.
Without a shepherd, they don't know what they're doing. And throughout the Old Testament, we see what this is like. God made sheep like this to illustrate what we are like. In the Bible, people are often compared to sheep. God wants us to know that just like sheep, we are designed to be led. We need to have a shepherd. Throughout the Old Testament, we see this image being built up. So, for example, in Numbers chapter 27, when the great leader Moses is about to die, he asks the Lord and says, "Appoint a man over the community so that the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." They need a leader. In 1 Kings chapter 22, a prophet predicts that the king is about to die in battle, and he says, I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. God's people need a leader. We are sheep who need a
shepherd.
We need a shepherd to show us the way and to care for our needs. We need someone like King David. King David, who was a shepherd of literal sheep, who became a shepherd of God's people. As Psalm 78 puts it, David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands, he led them. That's what we need. Throughout the Old Testament, when God's people have a good and godly leader, things go well. But sheep without a shepherd, they don't know what they're doing. And that's why Jesus here is moved to compassion. This is why he cares, because as he looks out at the crowd, he sees that they do not have the leader that they need. They are harassed and helpless, torn and thrown down, battered and bruised. They desperately need someone to show them the way and to care for their needs. And when Jesus sees their need, it hits him in the guts. He is moved inside to move towards them in love. Like that orphaned child at a refugee camp. Homeless, hungry, hopeless. So Jesus looks out at the crowds and he sees that's what they are spiritually. They don't know what they're doing. Sheep without a shepherd. And as we look around us today, isn't this what we see all over the place? In our world, we see countries falling apart because they do not have the leaders that they need. In our community, we see a whole bunch of people who could be described as sheep without a shepherd. People who are without God and without hope in this world, desperately searching for some sort of meaning, some sort of satisfaction, for happiness, for purpose. I'm sure all of us here this morning can think of people who are aimless and hopeless. They're living life just like a wandering sheep going round and round in circles. And to us, it's obvious that they need Jesus, but they can't see it. We live in a city of 9 million people, most of whom don't know their right hand from their left when it comes to the things of God. And that should move us. It should move us to care. It should move us to tears. Sheep need a shepherd. You know, it gets to the point in the Old Testament where the Lord says to his people, do you know what? Your leaders, they're rubbish. They keep failing. So I am going to become your shepherd. I, the Lord God, am going to be your shepherd. What an awesome thought to think that the Lord God himself would be to his people the one who looks after their needs and shows them the way to go. And now he's here. This is the Lord Jesus who he's talking about. This Lord Jesus, as he looks out on those scattered sheep, he did more than just care. He went further than just feel sad about it. In fact, this was the very reason that he had come. The Son of Man came to seek and to save lost sheep like me and you. It was compassion that caused him to care for the crowds. It was compassion that caused him to cry over the city. It was compassion that caused him to climb up to Calvary. It was compassion that caused him to call from the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Have you ever seen compassion like this? We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. See how he cares. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. And doesn't that make this compassion all the more beautiful? One day these crowds would turn on him. In a matter of days, they would go from hallelujah to crucify. And yet, despite that, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Can you see his beauty? Do you know his kindness? Have you bowed to this king? Have you come under his compassionate care? If you only ask, he will forgive your sin and welcome you in. As we catch a glimpse of the compassion of the king, I hope it moves us to see people through the eyes of Jesus. This has really struck me this week. The kindness of our God. Isn't that a lovely word? Kindness? Compassion? You know, compassion is one of the big things that we learn about God. Over 70 times in the Bible, Old Testament and New, the Lord God is described as a compassionate God, someone who cares for his people. This is who our God is, seen in the person of the Lord Jesus. In fact, of all the emotions that we read about Jesus having, compassion is the one we read about most. This is at the very heart of who he is. He has a tender heart. He is moved inside to move towards people in love. As he looks at the crowds, despite who they are, he cares for them. And I hope that moves us to see people through the eyes of Jesus. This week, as we interact with people from the community, we need to train ourselves to see people as they really are. To understand that the people around us are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I pray that that shapes our attitudes towards each other and towards people outside of this church family. Because if we're honest, the emotion that we feel towards people is not always compassion. It's not always the first thing that comes to mind. If you saw people through Jesus' eyes, how would that shape the way that you feel towards your noisy neighbours, towards bad drivers? There are loads of bad drivers in Edmonton, right? Towards the shouty mums on the school run. How would it shape the way that you viewed people if you saw them through Jesus' eyes? Even the people that have wronged you or offended you or hurt you. When we see people littering, when we see people loitering, I wonder how it would change us if we saw them as they really are, harassed and helpless. When our hearts begin to move towards disapproval or irritation or something worse, we need to check ourselves. We need to catch ourselves and we need to pray for them. They are harassed and helpless. Sheep without a shepherd. And if it wasn't for the compassionate care of King Jesus, we would be like them. As we see that the harvest is plentiful, I hope it moves us to genuinely care for the lost sheep of Edmonton, the lost sheep of the world. And I hope it moves us, secondly, to prayer. So first, I hope it moves us to care. Second, I hope it moves us to prayer. And actually, that flows from the first thing, because if we care about people, we're going to pray for them. Care leads to prayer. And if the harvest is plentiful, then there's an obvious thing to pray for, because there's a problem. Verse 37, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Here's the problem. There's loads of work to do, but not enough people to do it. There are loads of places and loads of people who need this good news of the kingdom, but Jesus is physically limited. During the last couple of chapters, we've seen him touring around Galilee. He's covered a lot of ground. He's done a lot of stuff. But actually, he's barely made a dent. It's like one man with a sickle desperately trying to harvest an entire farm. It's not going to work. You need more people. There are so many opportunities. So much potential for people to come into the kingdom. And so Jesus tells his disciples what they need to do. Have a look down at verse 38. Everyone's eyes should be on a Bible. Good. Verse 38. Someone shout it out and read it for me. Someone with a loud voice. That's David. David's got the loudest voice in Edmonton.
Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.
What's the one word, the command? Ask, right? Ask. Very, very, very simple. Ask the person who's in charge to send more help. Now that makes a whole lot of sense. For example, for youngsters, when you're at school and you've got a problem and you need some help, who do you go to? The teacher, right? You go to the person who's in charge. Older people, if you're at work and you've got a problem and you need some help, who do you go to? You go to the person in charge. So if we've got a harvest problem, there's an issue here, we need some help, who do we need to go to? The person who's in charge. Look how he's described. He is the Lord of the harvest. He is the boss. Notice again verse 38. It is his harvest field. It's not just a harvest field. It's his harvest field. It belongs to him. And so when we're faced with an overwhelming need, when we look out and see that the harvest is plentiful, we realize that it's way more than little old Silver Street Community Church can manage. The thing we need to do is ask the boss. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. Now that seems really, really obvious, but I think it's quite easy for us to miss. If you're anything like me, often my knee-jerk reaction when I'm faced with a really big job, my knee-jerk reaction is to just jump straight in and try and do it all myself. As we think about the needs of our patch of Edmonton. If you turn around and look at the back wall behind Barlas's head there, there's two maps. On the right-hand side is a close-up of our square mile. That's the square mile in which we sit and our particular first focus when it comes to reaching. That's our harvest field, as it were. As we think about that harvest field, it's quite overwhelming. 30,000 people. There's not very many of us. Look at the map to the left. You'll see it's a slightly bigger one, zoomed out. On the right-hand side, past where all of those purple stickers are, is a whole swathe. You can see even from here that it's just residential housing, all of that stuff on the right-hand side. That is Eastern Enfield, where lots of us live. As we think about that harvest field, it's overwhelming. 150,000 people. Not a lot going on in terms of gospel churches. And that's just our little patch of London. But actually, as the church, we are called to be part of a worldwide mission. So as we think about the many places across the globe that need the good news of Jesus, it is an overwhelming task to think about. And possibly our natural reaction is to think, okay, we need to get on with it. Let's get busy. We need to get out there like we were yesterday. We need to just do it. We need to go. Let's go. And that is important. But it's not where Jesus starts. It's not the first thing. You see, Jesus is about to send out these very same disciples. These very same disciples are going to be the workers in the harvest field. Look in the very next section. You can see at the top it says Jesus sends out the 12. In this very next section, he tells them to go, but that's not the first thing. Before he tells them to go, he tells them to ask. Now you might think I'm labouring the point here. What does it matter? But it teaches us something really crucial about the priority of prayer in evangelism. When it comes to reaching that harvest field, prayer must be our number one strategy. Prayer is the first thing we must do and the most effective thing we can do. And Jesus is quite specific here. He doesn't say, well, just pray in general. He gives us the thing to pray for. What's the command again? Shout it out. Ask. Not only are we praying for people to be saved, Jesus says, pray for people to be sent. Ask for workers. When you see the many needs and the huge potential of a plentiful harvest, don't just jump straight in. Pause to pray for harvest workers. And it's really important that we get this in the right order, because the Lord Jesus is teaching his disciples a principle here that is going to be crucial for their strategy going forward. Just think about how the book of Matthew ends. The book of Matthew ends with the risen Lord Jesus sending out his disciples on what is an overwhelming mission. Remember, there's not a lot of believers at that point. probably no more than 120 people who are following and trusting the Lord Jesus. 120 people. And Jesus says to them, go and make disciples. Not just in your neighborhood, although that would be a challenge enough, wouldn't it? I mean, we know that. Even with 120 of us here, whatever it is, it's hard to reach our community of Edmonton. But Jesus said, no, not just to your neighborhood, not just to your city, not just to your nation, but to the ends of the earth. That's the mission he gives them. He says, every last corner of the globe needs to know the good news that Jesus lived, died, rose again, so that simply by trusting in him, we can know life eternal. And he says, take that good news. It's the best news in the world. So take it to every city, town, village, and hamlet on every continent, in every country, to every culture, in every language. Go into all the worlds. That is an absolutely impossible task. Unless the Lord sends out workers into the harvest field. They could never do this on their own. So this particular prayer is a key part of their strategy. Whenever these disciples would enter new fields of ministry, they must always be asking the Lord of the harvest to raise up and send out new workers. Each generation, each nation, each location needs a new wave of gospel workers. And so this prayer right here is crucial. As we think about our patch of Edmonton, which is our harvest field, as we think about Eastern Enfield and our prayerful aim to plant 3 churches by 2023 in Eastern Enfield, as we think about our mission to the ends of the earth, we need to pray for workers. Not just people to parachute in from outside, but believers from the harvest field who grow up and mature and then are sent back out to reach their own people. Unless the Lord sends out more workers, our 3x23 vision as a partnership for churches to plant 3 churches in Eastern Enfield by 2023... unless the Lord sends out workers, that will not happen. And so will you pray with me? Will you ask the Lord of the harvest? I've been really struck this week about how crucial this particular prayer is. And so I've added it to my daily prayer list. Perhaps you will do the same with me. If we really care for the community, we need to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out more workers. And as God's people ask the Lord of the harvest to send out new workers, sometimes they are the answer to their own prayers. These very same disciples who are told to ask are then told to go. Look at verse 1 of chapter 10. They are sent out by Jesus with the authority of Jesus and the message of Jesus. And you know, it often works like this. If you care for people, you'll pray for people. And if you pray for people, you're much more likely to go to people. Praying for new workers includes recognizing that we are the workers who get to be part of Jesus' harvest field. After all, this is a mission not just for those who are trained or set aside for full-time gospel ministry, but for ordinary disciples. Those who have been with Jesus, who are sent out in the name of Jesus, declaring the good news of Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if we got rid of some people? Wouldn't it be good if we got rid of some people from Silver Street Community Church? Wouldn't it be great if we were able, as a church, to send people out, whether they be full-time gospel workers or not full-time gospel workers, but just people who are full-time Jesus followers, like all of us are, people who are willing to be sent out into the harvest field, whether that be in Eastern Enfield with a new church plant, whether that be further afield than that, to the ends of the earth. Wouldn't it be good to send people out from this community? I mean, we need some more space anyway, so maybe we should just send some people out. And of course we would miss them. But wouldn't it be exciting to be able to send people and see that the Lord is answering this prayer? As we pray for him to raise up new workers for the harvest field, perhaps that's you. Wouldn't it be amazing to see a harvest reaped in the Turkey Street area of Eastern Enfield? Wouldn't it be great to see a harvest reaped in Ponder's End, Bounce's Road, in Senegal as we send out Alex and Susanna, in Asia through David who we sent there. Wouldn't it be great to see more and more people in every corner of the world reaping a harvest because they've been sent out from Silver Street Community Church? But even for those of us who will never leave N18 or N9, look around you and see the harvest is plentiful. Once again, use your imagination. Look at those fields full of people stretching as far as the eye can see. So many people, so many needs, so many opportunities, so much potential for people to come into the kingdom. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. I hope that moves us to care. I hope it moves us to prayer. I hope it moves us to go. That's what it looks like to follow the King. Let's bow our heads together and just take a moment in quiet to respond to God's word. Perhaps for you, you've been challenged about your attitude towards the people around you in this community, whether it be in the church family or outside of the church family. Maybe you couldn't honestly say that you have compassion on all the people that you interact with. And in this moment, you want to repent and ask for the Lord's help, that you would see his kindness to you and therefore be softened to be kind towards others, seeing that they are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And maybe you want to take this minute as well to ask for the Lord of the harvest to send out workers to the harvest field. Maybe you are prompted yourself to be one of those who needs to see yourself again as someone who is on mission for Jesus in the field that he has placed you in. The reason we can be kind to others is because our God has been kind to us. At one time, Paul writes to Titus, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. It's like we were sheep without a shepherd. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, we praise you for your kindness and your compassion to us. Please soften our hearts that we would care for others. And as we care for others, help us to pray for them and to pray that you would raise up workers for the harvest field. Lord, do that amongst us, we pray. Do that for Eastern Enfield, we pray. Do that for Edmonton, we pray. And to the ends of the earth, send out more workers into the plentiful harvest field that many more would come to believe in King Jesus and know his compassionate, kind care. We pray it for the glory of our King, and in his name. Amen. Amen.